Okay, starting there, have a question for you that I want you to talk about at your tables to kick this off. And forgot to turn my thing. If you can click over to the first slide, I just turned my clicker on. It's this. We're starting a new series called Proven Character, Found on the Battlefield. I truly believe God cares more about who you are than what you do. Doesn't matter what you do. God says, I care about who you are. And character is really important to God. And he lays out what biblical character is. So I got a question for you at your tables. And it's this. It is, what are the top character qualities needed as a follower of Jesus? So if you're going to be able to live as a follower of Jesus, what are the top character qualities needed? So discuss that at your table. Take a couple minutes. Okay. All right. You know, I'm gonna ask you for some. I'm not gonna ask you to say why. So let me just hear some. Throw them out. What are the top character qualities needed of a follower of Christ? What? Faithfulness. I like that. Okay. Yeah. Trust. Raise your, yeah. Perseverance. Yeah. Acceptance. Selfless. Yeah. What? Kindness. Shh. What? Slow to anger. Servant. Being gracious. Physically attractive. Some of us aren't going to make it here, dude. That stinks. That's what you get for giving me a weird answer, dude. Okay. Hold on. Jake, do you have one? Courage, because why? It sounded good. Okay, yeah. What? Patience? Loyalty? Commitment? Man, you guys are good. Wow. Teachable. Forgiveness. Shh. What? Humble. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Willing to learn. All right. Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you would say you have those in your life? I don't know why you're laughing. It was an awkward silence there. Right? I mean, yeah, you would say, okay, I kind of got them. And it's funny how we know what we're looking for to be a follower of Christ, what it takes to be at a stand in the battle of life and remain a follower of Christ. But then we're like, oh, are those in my life? We kind of start to struggle. And that's okay. God is building character in us. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks. Today, I'm going to hit courage. Then we're going to talk about compassion. Then we're going to talk about honesty. And then we're going to talk about integrity. Now, you guys threw a lot of good ones out there. We could have picked any of those and taken a week on it. We're taking a four-week series to hit these four. And here's where this series comes from. Romans 5, 1 and 2, 1 through 5. But it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, these first two verses, Paul writing to the Romans, the Christians in Rome, and he's saying to them, we have this really cool justification, which means when we placed our faith in Jesus, Jesus' blood covered us. No longer do we need to worry about the penalty of sin that we're destined to hell. If you have believed in Jesus, it's once and for all. His blood covers you. You don't need to worry about the penalty. So in one sense, he's kind of talking about this grace that we have access into. And I think a lot of times we think about that in the heavenly realm. We're like, okay, that's there. That's later on. That's when we die. And then he says, but hold on. There's a grace in which we stand. So he's saying, hold on. This thing has to do with right here, right now, when I'm a high schooler, when I'm a young adult, when I'm a parent, when I'm a grandparent, whatever it may be. He's saying, this is the grace of God that I stand in. And then here's what he goes on and he says, this is the core verses. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let me pray for us. Lord, these are hard things in a lot of ways to read. And God, I know it is only by your Holy Spirit that these students, these leaders, that myself can understand this. So God, open our eyes to believe. Help our unbelief, God. Help us to walk with you in truth and know that you want to build character in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it's not, when he says rejoice in our sufferings, he's not saying it's not just like a, we'll put up with it and get through it. That's not the kind of perseverance that he's talking about. It's an ability to remain under circumstances without giving in. Because a lot of times we're like, you know what, when life gets hard, I'll just, in essence, I'm not going to outwardly look like I gave up, but inwardly, like I'm just giving up. Like I'm just done with life. I don't care. And it's not that. It's not throwing in the towel. It's remaining under circumstances without giving in. It's the ability to endure and persevere and continue on. And he's saying in rejoicing in the suffering, when he says rejoice in the suffering, it's not that we're happy that hard things are happening. It's that we're saying, ultimately, I can rejoice in my suffering as a follower of Christ because I can look to the end and say, ultimately, you know what that suffering is actually producing in me? It's producing hope in me, which is crazy to hear. And I know I can look across this room right now and know when I look at some of your faces, the hard things that you've gone through or are going through, and they're legit. They're legit hard. And you struggle in that moment to say, God, how could you produce hope in me through that suffering? And here's how it is. Because he says that suffering, as you're willing to endure through it, as you're willing to persevere through it and say, God, I want to see you in this, Lord. Let me remain close to you. That actually produces a character in us, and that character produces hope. It's only the person in a spiritual sense, the believer who can remain under pressure, that develops perseverance. In turn, as you remain under the pressure and the hard things of life, character develops. And you know what? Character is the proof of remaining under pressure. It's proving character. And that in turn produces hope. And I'll tell you, here's why it produces hope. Here's why when you remain under hard circumstances that it produces hope in your life. Because you're able to look back and say, God, you brought me through that. That's why it produces hope. Because there was nothing else, Lord, that could have brought me through that. I would have thrown in the towel, or you went to things that ultimately were destructive to try to get you through it. But when you remain under the pressure, it produces character in you, and it produces hope. And hope helps you to realize, God, you brought me through that, and you can continue to bring me through life and walk me through it. Our desire as a student ministry is not to produce good people. Like, I genuinely hate when Christianity gets boiled down to, well, let's just be good people. Let's just be really good moral people. That is so not what we're about as a student ministry. Or even just producing moral people. But we want you to leave here on a path that says, when high school here, maybe it's you go get a job, maybe it's you start a career, maybe you go to college, wherever God takes you, is that you can remain steadfast in following Jesus wherever he takes you. That's what we want to see produced in you. And so that's why we do messages like this, proving character on the battleground. So like I said, we're going to talk about today about courage, compassion, or today courage and compassion and honesty and integrity. Now, courage is an interesting one we're going to hit on because we have a lot of different things that come to mind. I think for me, when I think of courage, I think of battles. Like I think of guys that laid it all out there. You think about what's the name from Hacksaw Ridge. Who's seen Hacksaw Ridge? Bunch of sinners in that rated R. Just kidding. It's crazy. I mean, he just continues to go back. He continues to go back when he's risking his life every time to save one more. He says, I can save one more. God, can you help me get one more? Like that's a picture of courage. I'll tell you another picture of courage, okay, was when I was a senior in college, and I wanted to, like, officially date this really beautiful girl. She has auburn hair. Her name's Wendy. You might know her. And I knew, oh man, I got to talk to her dad. That's a picture of courage, right? I was like, oh, I know how much of a knucklehead I am. By the way, we were just like doing a bunch of cleaning in our house, and Wendy comes to this picture, and she this picture of our engagement picture. She's like, "You look like you were 12." I was like, "I think I acted like it too. I can't believe you married me. This is crazy." But that's a picture of courage. I was like, "I'm gonna talk to him. I know he's asked me a lot of questions, so I can still remember. We were in Lynchburg. We went to the mall with her parents, and then." And then I can't remember if I said to her dad, you know, hey, we'd like to talk. But he kind of knew, you know, he knew it was coming. And so we go to the food court, and like we sat there for like 2 hours. And like he was, you know, asking me a lot of questions. And I appreciate that. He wanted to dig in. He wanted to know who I was. He was going to let me officially date his daughter. So I passed the test. You know, we were dating. And then it came to like, okay, I think Wendy's the one I want to marry. Now that takes courage. It takes, look, I don't care who you are. It takes courage to get married, because I can remember multiple times, just all the time, just driving home from work and thinking, oh, is this it, God? Like, is this the woman that you want me to marry? Like, I could so easily screw this up, Lord. Like, it takes courage to do that. That really does. And so then once I was like, yes, Wendy, for sure, God said, this is the one that I want you to marry. And so then I said, oh, man, now I got to ask your dad. Again, like we're going to have this whole conversation like on this thing. I'm like, okay, got to build up the courage again. So when we were dating, I flew up to her house when her parents lived in Rochester, and finally like worked up the courage. You know, I can feel it in my stomach right now what that was like, and I was all worried, like, hey, what's this going to happen? And so somehow I can't remember if I said, hey, you know, can I, his name's Gary. I was like, Gary, can I go talk to you downstairs? And he's like, yeah. So we go down to the basement. And I was just like, I wanna marry Wendy, and I wanna get your permission to marry Wendy. He says, okay. That was it. I kid you not, it was no more. He's like, I've seen enough. And that was it. And I was like, I didn't even need courage for that. But he gave it to me. So sometimes, you know, courage comes in a lot of different forms and a lot of different ways. And today I hope to give you just a good biblical understanding of courage. Now, you've got note sheets on your table, so I hope you'll take one of those and write some stuff down. You know, it's proven by test results. If you write things down, you actually remember them, I think. Just made that up. I hope you write stuff down. Okay, courage. Courage defined. A virtue that entails the capability to endure, resist, or alter adversity. That's kind of courage defined. It's a virtue. A virtue is something that you have to build, something that you have to work on, that you have to grow in, that it doesn't just automatically come. We automatically come with the ability to breathe and poop. Like, those are two things that we can do. That's what babies do. They breathe and they poop and they sleep usually, but not even that we're guaranteed. Breathing and pooping is it. But a virtue is something we have to build, that we have to grow in. Now, here's where the Bible would go to a little bit different. It says the Bible enjoins a courage, so it brings together a courage that goes beyond the mere managing of one's fears, because sometimes that's what we think courage is. Let me just manage my fears. So I'm fearful about this. Let me just kind of get it under control. Okay, Lord, help me here. But the biblical definition takes courage that goes beyond the mere managing of one's fears. For the exercise of this virtue arises out of a confidence in God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. A biblical courage is a confidence that's found in the Lord. Some of you that are like deathly afraid of heights, I know who you are, because I remember us going to the Sears Tower in Chicago. And we went up there, and you're like, I can remember some people were like, this building is swaying right now. I feel it. I feel this building swaying. I'm like, it's not swaying, just chill. It's swaying. And they had to manage their fears. Their confidence was not in God. It wasn't in the structure of the building. They were like, I'm going to manage my fears, and they did it. Right? That's what we think it is. But biblical courage is a confidence that is in the Lord. So, sometimes you think, okay, well, courage is something I got to work up. I just got to manage. Can I take a courage pill? Sometimes that's what we wish we could do. But again, it's a virtue. It's something that is built as a Christian when we obey God and we trust in Him. I think courage is really best understood by understanding someone's story. So today we're going to look at the life of Caleb. I'm not sure I've ever heard Caleb talked about, at least from the Gap stage. Caleb's the guy in the Old Testament. He's the guy that actually was in Egypt when they were under slavery. And he exits Egypt with Moses. And here's our first mention of Caleb. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan. God promised, we're going to talk about this a little later. He promised Abraham, look, I'm going to give you the promised land, the land of the Canaanites. You're going to be able to conquer it. He promised that to Abraham. He promises it to Moses. Moses says, look, we're going to leave Egypt. I'm going to take you out of slavery. We're going to conquer this land. So they get to the land. They get right to the border of the land. And they came out from Egypt. So they kind of came up north a little bit, northeast. He says, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers who shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So there's 12 tribes now. They got to pick one from each tribe. And here's our first mention of Caleb. Numbers 13:6. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of... I should have listened to the YouVersion Bible app. It would have told me how to say that right. That guy. He's the son of that guy. So Moses sends out the spies to the land. Caleb's one of the spies. He's considered a leader among the other 12 that are sent out. He's considered the best leader among his clan, his tribe. And so this is what Moses says to them. He sent them out to spy the land of Canaan and said to them, go into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is. Now I want you to note the things that he tells them to check out for. He says, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds. So like, are they just like tents and kind of just setups here? That would be the camps. Or are they strongholds, like actual cities built, like Jericho? If you remember Jericho, the walls of Jericho. He says, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. I mean, that's important because they go there, and you're going to see in just a minute, and they see how good the land is. But God's like, go check out this land. And it's really crazy. Having been to Israel, it gives me a whole different definition of this. What's really interesting is all of the soil in Israel underneath is actually volcanic soil, and it has a ton of nutrients in it. But the problem is it's covered up by a ton of sand, and there's not a lot of water. If you can get water to that soil, things flourish. I'm driving through Israel, and you're just like in the middle of a desert, and then you just see this huge grove of palm trees. They brought water there, and it's literally just they have these little trickle water things that water it, and all these plants are growing. And so this was important for them to get out there and see how good is this land. So this is what Moses tells them. Now, the spies go up. They go way far up north into Israel, all the way up into Syria, and then they come back down. They spy out the whole land. And Moses says to them, he tells them to take courage. That's the first time we hear Moses say that to him. He says, take courage. Why? Because they're going behind enemy lines. They're going to spy this land out and say, can we take this? Can we really do this? So he says, take courage as you go. And so the spies go out and they come back. And this is what they say to him. The spies give this report. We came to the land to which you sent us. It does. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The descendants of Anak, that word Anak actually means long-necked people. If you saw a lot of long-necked people, you'd be scared too. You'd be like, dang, they got long necks. That's weird. But they were like these monster big people that they were afraid of, and they had heard about them, and so they saw them, and they're like, the long-necked people, we're scared of them. So they were afraid. Now, here's what I want you to do. At your table, I want you to discuss this. How would you respond? If you saw what they saw, if you were in the Israelite camp, and you heard them say that, I want you to talk about how would you respond. So discuss that at your table for a minute. Go ahead. All right, I want to get a survey. Who says, I would be afraid of the long-necked people? Who said, I would not be afraid and we would go in and take the... You're in for the grapes. Nice. All right. Well, here's Caleb's... I wanted you to just kind of think about and get a picture of what they're feeling and how you would respond. Because I think I'm like you, man. They come back, the spies, they've been there. Look, the land's really good, but there's a lot of hard things there, the strongholds, the long-necked people. But for real, like, it would be scary to go in there and think, can we defeat them? And so here is Caleb's response. If you can click to the next slide for me, because I don't know how my clicker. This is Caleb's response. But Caleb quieted the people. Sorry, lost my place. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." But he wasn't even like, "I think we can do it. Maybe we can do it." He's like, 100%, let's gather the people. Let's go right now. We can take this. We can take this. Like, his courage was there. We can do this. And so he gives the minority report. It's the minority report because he's the only one. And we ultimately learn that Joshua 2, they're the only two out of the 12 spies. Like, they're outnumbered. Everybody else, this is what everybody else says. Everybody else says, the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we've gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height." So Caleb goes against what's easy. He goes against what's popular. He goes against culture. And you know what? I think truly, many times, it's just as hard for you in this room that want to have courage to walk by faith, to do it in the midst of your peers that are Christians. That's what Caleb was doing. He was in the midst of the Jewish people. And he had to have courage then. He had to have the minority report then. And I'm not saying that in every single thing, we always go against what's popular. But we have to know what's God's truth. And so I want to help you, because I think sometimes we can hear this and we go, "Well, that's Caleb, that's the Bible. Like, that's a really big thing, going into the land." I want to try to bring it down to, like, what I would call the nitty-gritty for you. Because this is what happens. They saw that the land was good. But they also saw some other things, and they feared. So I want to help you bring this into a modern-day context. Some of you are like, "Well, my phone..." And I know you're saying we're always rail on phones, but I want you to hear me out here. "My phone and social media, they cause me anxiety. They cause me stress. They actually don't make my life better. It's just too hard. Everybody else does it." That's what the spies, in essence, were saying. The land's good. I know it's good, but it's too hard. I can't do it. I know it's hard not to be on social media, but it's just too hard. Everybody else does it. You know, we know it's not hard. You can go look up tons of studies. Like, we all know this. A life without substance abuse is a better life. It is healthier. But trying to do it is just too hard. We know the land is good. It flows with milk and honey. We know a life without substances, without drugs, without alcohol, without these things is good. But everybody does it, so it's just too hard not to. I'm just trying to bring this down to what it looks like for you to have courage in your everyday life. You know, I know that dressing modestly is best for a lot of reasons, but Lee, it's just too hard. Everybody does the opposite. Like, everybody does it. It's just too hard. You know, that person really hurt me, and I know them. I know I should forgive them because it's actually hurting me, but it's just too hard. I'd rather hold on to the bitterness against them. Making decisions to treat my body as a temple of God, I know that that's best. Whether that could be pornography, whether that could be sexual immorality, I know that it's best. But man, come on, everybody's sexual with their girlfriend or boyfriend. Everybody watches pornography. So that's too hard. I can't do that. God says honoring my parents will actually bless me. But come on, nobody listens to their parents. It's just too hard. Even though I know my friends need to hear about Jesus, talking to them about my faith will make me an outcast. It's just too hard. I know it's good. I know it's what I should, but it's just too hard. I know listening to Christian music is good for me and it actually puts God's truth in me, but it just doesn't sound as good and music doesn't really affect me. God says my identity shouldn't be wrapped up in my performance, my academics, sports, music, but Everyone else is doing it around me. It's just too hard not to. That's what everybody does. I know cheating is wrong, but Lee, everybody is doing it to get good grades. If I don't cheat, I won't make it like everybody else. I hope that just kind of brought what it looks like to have courage. And I get it. Like, it's hard. Those things that I just said, I think I'm thinking are what you guys are facing every day. Every one of you in here relates to at least one of these as you struggle to have proven character that's found in the battlefield. And the response that the 10 spies gave was, the land's good, but it's too hard. We can't go. And so the people, we're not going to read this, but the people actually rebel against Moses. They wish they could go back to Egypt and be slaves. And that's in essence what we're saying about these things. We're saying, Lord, I know your way is good, but I'd rather go back in slavery to these things because it's just too hard. When you hear it like that, it doesn't make sense, does it? So this is Caleb's response to the people. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I think I said that right, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. Like, back in this time, this was a sign of mourning and just saying, this is not right. And so they're showing them how much they're against this, and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out, it's an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into the land. He'll give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And so this is what happens. We look at things and we say, I know, God, ultimately your way is best, but it's too hard. So here's what happens. One, our own rebellion, our own desire. He tells them, Caleb says, don't rebel against the Lord. And just our own hearts, our pride and our own rebellion says, I just want to go my own way. This happened from the beginning. Adam and Eve did this. They just rebelled against God and said, we want to go our own way. That is at the core of our own pride, to say, God, we want to do our own thing. You've got to wrestle with God on that one and say, God, ultimately, will you break my pride and allow me to see that your way is good and I want to follow you. The second thing that they did that held them back from having courage was the fear of people. And this is huge. Something I was just reading said that it was like maybe 20 or 30 years ago, if you would have asked students your age, say, who are the top influencers in your life, people that influence you? The top one would have been parents. The second one, I think, would have been like coaches and teachers. And then the third one was spiritual leaders. And now spiritual leaders are down, they said, number 17 on the list. So who cares about your youth pastors? But the top one is friends. The top one is friends. So hear me out on this. If you're 16 and say your parent is like, what, 45, whatever it may be. So it's ultimately saying, I'm going to listen to the wisdom of my 14-year-old friend, my 16-year-old friend, instead of my parent who's 45 and walk through life. Because we're saying, the influence of my friends, the fear of my friends, the fear that if I walk in God's ways and go against what they're doing, or if I'm so worried about what they think, the fear of people is so big. We've made it so big in our minds, the things that we will do because of the fear of people is crazy. And then lastly, it was a lack of trust in God's ways that they wouldn't go take the land. And the thing is, we can't see what God's doing in the background. And we fear, and there's that fear that comes, and we're like, God, I can't do it. And we miss what God is doing in the background. This is what Caleb tells him. He says, he'll bring us into the land. And he says, there where protection is removed from them, the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. He's telling them, God is doing something. And that's the coolest thing, guys, about when we take courage and we say, God, I want to follow you in the things that I don't do. And Lord, I also want to follow you in the things that you call me to do. And when we do that, we get to see God's power at work. But when we ultimately say, God, it's too hard, whatever it is he's calling you to do or not do, we say it's too hard, we miss the power of God. Guys, there is nothing better than seeing the power of God. I met with a student this week who has been struggling for probably 10 years in their life. 10 years. You could see the burden on their shoulders. As they said, God, your way is not good. I want to take my own way. And as I sat across the table from him this week, he looked at me and he said, I finally one night in my room just broke down. And I said, God, will you help me? I'm so tired of living my own way. And you could see the burden lifted off of him because he realized, God, your ways are good. The land is good. Let me follow you. There is nothing better than seeing the power of God. Joshua and Caleb's courage was not based completely in the circumstances on hand. Because truthfully, when they looked at the land, they probably would have said, it's good, but it's too hard. Here's what it was based on. You got to go back to Exodus 6, okay? It was based on a confidence in God. Look at what Exodus 6 says. So this is back. This right here, this verse is back in the time when they're still in Egypt, they're still under slavery. God says to Moses, say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with a great act of judgment. And he continues on and says, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give you to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. That was Moses speaking to the Israelites. Caleb heard that. Caleb would have heard those words when he was in Egypt. He would have known Moses, the prophet of God, this delivering us from Egypt, that is going against Pharaoh, the great Pharaoh. These are his words. So Caleb would have heard this. And then we got to take one step further back. We got to go to Genesis 17:8. And I will give, this is what God says to Abraham, and I will give to you and your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, from an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Because see, our confidence is not based in our ability to manage our fears, but based in the confidence of God. That what God says is true, he will do that. That's what Moses was basing his trust off of. That's what Caleb and Joshua were basing their trust in. That God said to Abraham, we'll give you this land. Moses says, we're going to go to the land. I'm believing God. And Caleb and Joshua said, we can do it because God said it. Now, this isn't a courage that we can think, hey, we can do whatever we want and God will just bless it. But it's a courage that's found in the truth of God, to live by courage, by God's word. And I want you to know, courage isn't just a bunch of no's. What are all the things I got to say no to? But a bunch of yeses. Caleb's courage was a yes. We can go take the land. And so we now can take courage to live by the truth found in God's word because he created us. We take courage in the hard things of life. God builds perseverance in us. Perseverance produces character. And character produces that hope that we can say, God, I see that you brought me through that, and you will continue to do it. Now, this is what happened. This is what happens. This is God's response to the people. How many of you ever wondered, why did they wander in the wilderness for 40 years? Anybody ever wonder that? Okay, some of you are lying. I know you've wondered that. Maybe it's just me. It's because when they got to the land, this was 2 years. 2 years. We're talking about this story with Caleb. This is 2 years into the wandering in the wilderness from Egypt. Should have taken them like 40 days to get there. 2 days, they get the 2 years, they get there. God told them we'd give you the land. They reject God's truth. And that's why they wandered in the wilderness for 38 more years. They wandered in this desert, wandering all around because they rejected God's truth. And God says, you know what? I'm going to destroy you guys because you've rejected me. And Moses goes to him, he says, please don't do this. Your name will have no renown amongst the people. And God relents of his destruction. And this is what God says about Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. So God says, because Caleb believed and he would walk by faith and take courage, he had a different spirit and he followed me fully. And then it says this, Numbers 14:38. Of those who went to spy out the land, only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive. The other 10 spies, they died by plague. And this is the other thing that God said. I don't have it up on the screens, but God said, everyone that's 20 years or older will die in the wilderness. They will not get to see the land because they would not believe. But Joshua and Caleb got to go to the land and see it. Here's what it says in Joshua 14. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzanite, and said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought to him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land of which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord. This idea of courage that Caleb took was because he wholly followed the Lord. And so this is another really interesting thing. This is Caleb speaking. He says to Joshua, now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there, that's the long-necked people, with great fortified cities. And maybe that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord had said. He's 85 when he says this. And he realizes he gets to the land and all those people are not out. So even at 85, he goes, I'm ready to go battle them. I'm ready to take courage and finally get these guys out of here. Caleb wandered in the wilderness with them for 40 years. Can you imagine? I'd be so ticked. And I'd probably be one of those people that wouldn't believe and take courage. And so Caleb's courage was ultimately found in wholly following the Lord by taking courage, even if it was hard, because God said, I will do this, Caleb. Just walk in obedience with me and see my power. Caleb's courage and character were not built in that moment. Remember what I said about virtue? Virtue is something that you grow and you build in. Caleb's courage was not built in that moment. It was solidified in that moment. Because Caleb heard the words of Moses that Moses got from God back when they were in slavery. And he said, that is the God I will wholly follow. He started building courage then. And all these little steps of courage along the way that when it finally came to the moment to give the report, he was willing to give the minority report because he knew that his courage was found in the Lord. So, your character and your courage won't just all of a sudden appear. Instead, they are built in little moments as you live by faith and are willing to walk in obedience to God. Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb as an inheritance. So Caleb's ultimate victory and blessing was he got the land. Here's what Paul says in Philippians. I'm going to end with this verse and ask you to answer a question to yourself. Philippians 1, 20 through 21 says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me is to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask this question in your mind to yourself right now. Am I living half-heartedly for God? Caleb's courage came because he wholly lived for God. And I want you to answer this question on your own sheet. I want everybody to grab a sheet. Leaders, give them a sheet. There should be enough because I want everybody to answer this question. I want you to write it down and put it in your pocket. And it's this question that I didn't put on there. Where do you need to live with courage right now? And what will that practically look like? I want you to take a minute. I want you to think, ask the Lord if he didn't bring it to mind. Maybe throughout this message, God's been bringing something to mind for you. Because if we just hear this and don't do anything, it's just, God says, I want you to take an act. Courage means action. Because Caleb was willing to go into the land and take courage. So I want you to answer this question. Where do you need to live with courage right now? And what will this practically look like? And when you're done, you can put it in your pocket so no one else will see it. You don't have to worry about it. And I'll just leave you with this, and then I'm going to pray and we're done. I really just challenge and encourage you that none of you would leave here today and be like, well, it's just another good message. Not because I said anything special, but because I think God's word was really clear to say, will you take courage today in what I'm calling you to? And believe me and see me work in my power. That God will build that character in you. And it starts here. It starts in high school. It starts right now. So I pray that you would do that. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you that we can look at the life of a man of Caleb and see these things, God, that you desire to grow and build in us. And Caleb was just like us. He was no different. He had to hear you, God, and follow you. And Lord, I pray for the students in this room, God, the leaders, that they will hear you and follow you and take courage and say that their courage is built on a confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen.